Hello, Savvy listeners, and welcome to the Savvy Girls Podcast. I am Deborah, and I am podcasting to you from St. Albert, Alberta, Canada. Melanie has hijacked the last two podcast episodes, and frankly, I've been so busy that I haven't even minded. But this is episode number 99, for goodness sake. And for once in a long time, Melanie and I aren't in the same location, because she went back to New York yesterday after a visit home, and I am still visiting with Savvy Mom. And if I want to hijack a podcast, this is the one for me to take. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about what's going on with me for the past months, why I have been a little bit on the quiet side, my recent travel, my travel as it relates to knitting, my spinning, a book review, some info on what we have planned for the next little while, including a trip Melanie and I plan to take to Stitches South in Atlanta, and what will happen for episode 100, and a whole lot more. It is going to be a full show, there is going to be lots of knitting on here, and it's only me and Savvy Mom. I am so looking forward to recording this. Pick up your knitting, grab your crochet, pull out your wheel, and get to work, because this is episode number 99 of the Savvy Girls Podcast. And I say, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. I'm visiting Alberta now. I'm here for 2.5 weeks. Melanie was around for the first week and a half, and Andrew, Savvy Bro, spent quite a bit of time over Passover and during the Easter long weekend hanging out at home too. He normally lives in his own place in downtown Edmonton, but he comes by to the family home when Melanie and I are in town. Now Melanie has gone back to New York, and Andrew is back at work, and I have 1 week of glorious, quiet crafting time with Savvy Mom. Mom and I haven't had more than a few hours alone together since before I moved away in 2002. We are so similar in many ways, and time together is very easy. This is the vacation I have been desperately craving. Quiet knitting time with good company. I will be sad when this week is over, and I have to go back to my busier, more stressful life in New York. Over the last few years, or perhaps the last couple of years, things have been a little bit crazy for me. Some of you might have been wondering what's been going on and why Melanie is a lot more involved in podcast things than I appear to be. The fact of the matter is that I've just been very, very busy and very engaged at work. Sure, I've been living overseas and constantly traveling and dealing with family illnesses, international moves, etc., etc. All of this has contributed to my busyness, but most of it boils down to a job that I have that is taking an increasing amount of my time and energy. I am still crafting, and I'm still dedicated to the podcast, and to this wonderful community of knitters, crocheters, and spinners I've gotten to know over the past years, and I will continue to meet you. But I've just run out of steam every day. My hours are long and full, and I end up falling exhausted into bed each night. So, thank you for your patience. I haven't been very good at keeping up with emails or participating on boards, but I'm doing my best and I hope you will all understand. I'm still here, and I don't intend to go anywhere. Well, figuratively, of course, since travel is definitely part of my lifestyle that isn't about to end. Because neither Melanie nor I have had a chance to talk about this on the podcast yet, I want to take a minute to tell you about the charming little gift that our podcast listener, Diane from Orchard Park, New York, sent us. We have 3 tiny little sweaters on adorable doll clothing-sized hangers. They're mini raglan sweaters, I think probably meant as tree ornaments, knit out of a small amount of sock yarn. When the package arrived, I immediately hung the sweaters, on their hangers of course, on the knobs of 3 different kitchen cabinets. They've been there for a few months now, and I love them. Actually, both Melanie and I do. There is knitting decorating my kitchen. It is also a great idea for using sock yarn scraps, and an idea that I might borrow when I try to work through my scrap stash. I think they would make great gifts or gift toppers, and for those of you who are thinking of planning ahead to start knitting in preparation for next winter time, maybe keep these tiny cute little sweaters in mind. And of course, we'll link to the pattern and to Diane's project in our show notes. There is quite a bit coming up for Melanie and I, but 2 major things that I need to talk to you about. First of all, Stitches South. Melanie and I are going to be there. We are so, so excited. It's in Atlanta, Georgia. The event runs from April 11th to April 14th, but Melanie and I will be there on the weekend only, which is April 13th and 14th. If you plan to be going, please let us know. And also please join us for meetups at 12:30 on both Saturday and Sunday by the entrance to the marketplace. Melanie and I really don't know the location. We've never been to this venue, but we figure that entrance to the marketplace has got to be a spot where other people can find. We're also going to tweet throughout the day to say where we are. So if you're following us on Twitter at SavvyGirlsPcast, you can see where we are and what we're doing. And if you're at the event, hopefully find us and say hello. Coming up in 2 weeks from now will be our release of episode 100. Melanie and I have been podcasting for a few years, and we finally made it to episode 100. We are working on all sorts of fun things. There will be contests and prizes, and I'm working on a little knit-along. Maybe there'll be games, maybe there'll be, I don't even know what. At this point, we have a long list of ideas that we're working on, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to announce contests on our Ravelry group, on our Facebook page, and through our Twitter feed, and of course, on episode 100, so keep an eye out for all of that. Melanie posted, I don't know, maybe a month ago, she posted a thread on our Ravelry group, since our Ravelry group was nearing 1,000 members. Melanie was trying to get more people to join the group, so she said she would give away yarn from my stash to random members of our group once we hit the 1,000 mark. Well, we've hit the 1,000 mark, and I haven't checked if my stash is safe, and I'm mildly concerned since Melanie is in New York and I'm not there to supervise. But I can definitely say with some confidence that we will be giving away prizes to our Ravelry group members on episode 100. To that, we are also going to be adding people who follow us on Twitter and Facebook, so all of you also have an opportunity to win. And there will be a few different prizes up for grabs. There's still time to join in the fun, so if you want to be in on this contest, just join our Ravelry group, follow us on Twitter, or follow us on Facebook. Of course, there will be other contests announced on episode 100 that you can participate in if you're the type of person who doesn't like to be involved in a social media and you'd rather remain a quiet listener. That's okay, and we love having you around also. Oh my goodness, I have been traveling so much lately, but I've been to some interesting places. So let me start. I went to Detroit. I actually can't tell you when I went. I think it might have been in February. It's been a busy couple months. But I went for work, and it was a successful trip work-wise. When I go to a new city, I usually go and, you know, do a little research to see what kind of yarn and knitting-related things go on in the city. And I was so saddened and disappointed to see that there were no yarn stores in Detroit. There were a few in outlying communities, but nothing in Detroit proper. Now, I know just a little bit about Detroit's history, and I know that it's a city that has fallen on difficult times, but now I see how hard it really is. Seriously, no yarn stores? Few knitters? Poor Detroit. I went to Toronto 2 weekends in a row, also back in February. The first weekend, I drove to Toronto with my dog, Kathira, to spend a few days visiting with my bubby and relaxing with her in her home. I have to tell you, my dog, Kathira, loves rides in the car, and I don't own a car in New York right now, but I have owned cars in the past, and when she was a puppy, she got very used to riding in the car. And whenever she gets to go for a ride in the car, she gets so excited, but in a well-behaved way. She just loves it. And while I probably shouldn't let her do this, I do let her sit in the passenger seat. And she sits so quietly and so politely. She looks out the window. She dozes on the seat. She looks at me. She gazes at me. Then she looks out the window again. She never tries to climb in my lap. She never gets in the way for me driving. But it is such a pleasure to see her enjoy the ride so much. And my grandmother loves dogs and doesn't have very many dogs in her life right now. She's a little bit older and she doesn't have a pet of her own, But she's always loved dogs, and so I surprised her by bringing my Kafira to see her. And Kafira and she got along famously. The two of them were fast friends, and it was so much fun to see them together. The second weekend, also in February, but the second weekend in the row, Savvy Mum had come to Toronto, and I went to visit the two matriarchs of our family. Mum brought her crochet, and I had my knitting, and my bubby, well, she had started making scarves for a group of knitters at a shul in Toronto who were doing what they called mitzvah, or charity knitting. It was wonderful to have these three generations of yarn crafters sitting together, each working on their own project. My uncle came by and saw the three of us doing that, and he actually snapped a picture of the three of us, each concentrating on our yarn and on our needles or our crochet hook and enjoying each other's company. It felt really, really good. And frankly, the best part of the trip was when my grandmother was lying in bed and when Mom and I were visiting her to say goodnight. And my bubby said, "You know, as a knitter, I feel guilty going to sleep because I feel like I should be working on my project instead." Well, frankly, Bubby, I completely know how you feel. A couple weeks later, in I believe it was the beginning of March, I traveled to Los Angeles again for work. But in Los Angeles, I got to visit and stay with my good friend Dominique, known on Ravelry as Domikosh. First of all, I have to say that Dominique is a kindred spirit. Her yarn stash is big, perhaps as big as mine. Maybe not, it's really hard to tell. Her stash is kept lovingly in a pile in the corner of her bedroom, and she took me to see it, and then when she was showing it to me and while I was oohing and aahing over all her beautiful yarns, she confided in me that she has a hard time asking her husband to pick up his laundry from around the bedroom, since whenever she asks, he silently looks towards the stash pile, looks back at her, and raises an eyebrow. But the thing is, I completely understand. A stash that appears untidy is really just a big pile of beautiful. And dirty laundry is, frankly, just dirty laundry. Dominique knits and crochets. She is fearless when it comes to choosing projects. And she is one of the most prolific yarn crafters I have ever met. She has two kids and a full-time job, and she is constantly finishing the most beautiful and well-made projects. I don't know how she does it, but I aspire to be like her in that way. Every day I go onto Ravelry and it seems like she has something new that she's just finished. Dominique generously made me a gift. She made an amigurumi Dale the Mosquito, and the pattern is by Stacy Trock. This is possibly the cutest amigurumi pattern ever. It's a gray mosquito with white, bulgy eyes and pipe cleaners in its long legs so they're bendable. I love my mosquito more than any other mosquito that I have ever met, and he has a place of honor in my bedroom right now and may very well make it to the office. While I was in town, Dominique and I went to two yarn stores. Unfortunately, I was running a fever the day we had to explore, so I was perhaps not as enthusiastic as I might have been otherwise. But I still had a wonderful time visiting the two yarn stores we made it to. We went to Gather, which is a charming little shop on the top floor of a used bookstore, and Knit Culture Studio, a beautiful, bright store with yarns organized by color in cubby-like shelves that extend from the floor to the ceiling. I bought a little yarn, but let's not talk about that. Now on to my knitting. I have been doing a lot of knitting, and I frankly haven't been talking about it. So I have a long list of knitting projects, and I'm going to tell you all about what I've been doing. A few months ago, Savvy Mom asked me to knit her a new hat. The few that I had made her previously were getting a little old, and she wanted something that looked just a bit different. So when I decided to visit her in Toronto, I knew that I had to get a move on it and make the hat she requested. So I picked the pattern Button Tab Hat by Jorge Locatelli. And if you remember, Jorge was a friend of mine when I lived in Argentina. I knit this hat out of two skeins of Araucanía Tocanao in two different blue colors. I purchased the yarn from the shop Cuenta Puntos in Santiago, Chile. Tocanao is one of my favorite yarns. It's a worsted weight with multiple plies and a lot of energy to it. It doesn't pill easily, and it creates a bouncy fabric with excellent stitch definition. The pattern button tab hat is knit from the edge to the crown. After a short ribbed section, the hat is worked in two round stripes. So each stripe lasts two rounds before you switch to the second color. And there are only two colors. The crown decreases are done really rapidly at four spots to create a flatter top with a raised X across it. The hat is finished with a little eye cord that's pulled tight to make it look like a little knob in the top center. And then there's a tab that you knit from under the brim that comes around, under, and around, and then attaches at the top of the ribbing with a button. I ran into a couple problems with this hat. So first of all, it turned out to be too small. Now, I have a giant head. I've come to accept that. The thing is, I inherited my giant head from Savvy Mom. So she also has a giant head. The hat was intended to be slouchy. The large size of this hat produced more of a skin-tight beanie for both Savvy Mom and I. I had to block this twice, quite aggressively the second time, to get the look I wanted. My other problem was that the crown decreases looked a little funny. The points on the X stuck out, and it didn't slouch the way it did in the picture. So I fixed this by re-knitting the crown with spiral decreases. This created a more smooth, bunchy look on the crown rather than the jester-like X. But there were lots of things that I liked about this pattern, too. The little I-cord knob at the center of the crown is adorable and charming. And the hat prompted me to take the 30 seconds I needed to learn to do jogless stripes when knitting in the round. It really wasn't hard, but, well, I hadn't learned it before. To go with the hat, I also knit a corresponding cowl. I cast on 126 stitches, knit in ribbing, then I did two rounds in each color, so I did two round stripes in each color until the cowl was long enough. Then I did ribbing again, then I bound off. That's all. And now I have a matching cowl that I gave to Mum along with her hat. I'm relatively pleased with the results, although if I were to knit the pattern again, I would continue to make minor changes to make it suit my tastes a little bit better. In January, I decided that 2013 would be the year during which my stash shrunk. I wanted my stash to be smaller at the end of the year than it was at the beginning of the year. I think I lasted 2 weeks before I bought a skein from the Long Island Livestock Company at Vogue Knitting Live. Then I used a $75 certificate I had for school products yarn. And then there was the Webs order. And then the second Webs order. Oh, and the yarn I bought while in Wisconsin. Oh, and the ones in Minnesota. And then the vacation yarn I purchased in L.A. And then the socks that rock that Melanie bought me at Stitches. And maybe others. I can't even remember now. So all this is to say that I have failed royally at my goal, since it's only April and I've probably bought enough yarn to cover 3 years of knitting. And I certainly haven't knit that much. But in an effort to use some of my stash, I cast on a simple garter stitch scarf out of some Manos del Uruguay silk blend in a soft gold color. I got the yarn in Uruguay from an odds and ends bin at one of their stores. I bought a bunch of little balls and skeins, and not all of them were the same dye lot. For this scarf, I cast on 44 stitches and then knit every row until I ran out of yarn. The scarf turned out to be a scarf, with some slightly funny-looking spots because of the different dye lots, but it was a scarf nonetheless. And one of my uncles in Toronto has been admiring my knitting for some time and tunes into the podcast. He is knitworthy. So this scarf became his, and he has been wearing it and loving it ever since I gave it to him. Sometime mid-year last year, so mid-year 2012, I think, I cast on for a Multnomah shawl. The pattern is by Kate Ray, and I meant to knit this out of JoJo Land Melody, a fingering weight 100% wool yarn. I frankly wasn't loving the yarn pattern combo. Multnomah has a garter stitch body and a feather and fan edging, and something wasn't working. But I was persisting. I took it with me when I was traveling, and I kept working on it, plugging away. I knew that I would appreciate having the finished shawl, even if the process of knitting it wasn't really engaging me. On the way home from JFK Airport, coming home from my trip to Detroit, I shared a taxi with a quirky older woman who had come to New York to see a man she had met online. She was well into her 70s and was meeting an older man. She was divorced once and widowed from her second marriage and was hoping that the man she was meeting would become husband number three. She was obviously a woman with some money. She was well-dressed, she was staying a week in a swanky private club, and she looked as if she perhaps had some work done over the years. We chatted in the taxi on the way to town, and I even gave her my business card, because frankly, I wanted to know how her date went. She gave me dating advice in the taxi ride. She told me that wanting to meet a guy within 10 years of my age was too limited, and that there were many men in their 50s who were looking for a pretty young woman like myself. Many of them are, what she said was, professional, and what she meant was that they're doing well financially. Weeks later, I checked my phone messages at work. It seems that my telephone light was broken and it didn't flash to tell me that there were messages waiting, so I only noticed the messages long after they were left. And there was a message from this woman, saying that I had left a small bag of knitting in the taxi when I got out and that she had it at her hotel. That was weeks previously, and I knew that she had already left New York. I had no other way to contact her, so I decided to just let it go. My JoJoLynn Multnomah shawl and I were just never meant to be. I just hoped that that lady and her date were a better match. Shawlette Knitting and I don't seem to be very compatible lately. I recently cast on for Damson. In fact, I cast on for Damson only a few days ago. It's a pattern by Usal de Teague, and a popular one at that. It's a shawlette with a garter stitch body and a stockinette stitch-based lace edging. The lace edging is large scale, and it creates more of a scalloped shape rather than an open lacy pattern. The shawl is shaped with two columns of yarn over increases that radiate from the center neck cast on. Honestly, this shawl has a bit of a cape look to it. I'm knitting this out of a skein of Socks That Rock Lightweight in the colorway Handsome Man. The yarn is basically brown and turquoise with some subtle blues mixed in. Melanie chose me this yarn at Stitches West, and it's a stunning colorway and it looks really good on this shawl. Before I started knitting this, I saw that the pattern called for 440 yarns. I had 405 yards in my skein. I went online and checked different projects on Ravelry and saw that many, many knitters had run out of yarn, and others had made the shawl a little smaller to compensate for the yarn issues. I considered going down a needle size, but I rejected the idea. I considered knitting the shawl a little smaller, but I rejected the idea. All the signs were pointing towards me not having enough of yarn, and yet I decided to go ahead anyways, on larger needles, with the full-sized shawl. And so guess what? I'm about 10 long rows before the end of the pattern, and I am almost out of yarn. It turns out that just believing that it'll be fine doesn't actually always work. So my plan is now to knit until I'm out of yarn, and then to order another skein. I've told myself that I'll only order one skein of yarn while I'm on the Blue Moon Fiber Arts page. But I see that they have dyed spinning fiber, and I'm starting to get a little twitchy. Haven't tuned in previous years. March every year, there's a bit of a frenzy in the Malabrigo Junkies Ravelry group. They call it Malabrigo March. There are challenges and contests, knit-alongs and other fun activities, and I do love challenges and contests and knit-alongs and fun activities. This year, I participated in 3 of the knit-alongs for the patterns Frostlight, Rainbow Twist, and Donnie's Hat. I also knit 1 other scarf out of Malabrigo, the Melody's Shawl. So let me tell you about these projects. Melody's Shawl is designed by Melody Moore. This was a pay pattern. Frankly, the pattern was so simple that I was able to work out what to do based on pattern photos. So I knit this out of Malabrigo lace in the colorway Noviembre. This is a single ply merino lace weight yarn. It's very soft and delicate, but slightly on the thicker side compared to other lace weight yarns. This pattern made more of a long scarf than a shawl, but I suppose if I had cast on fewer stitches, this would have been a shorter, wider rectangle and would have appeared more shawl-like. I cast on 330 stitches. I joined it for knitting in the round, and then I placed 2 stitch markers, 25 stitches apart from each other. Then I knit around and around and around. Each time I came to the area with the markers, I knit the 3 stitches before the markers and the 3 stitches after the markers through the back loop so the stitches would be twisted. I worked like this in stockinette stitch until just before I ran out of yarn. Then I bound off all but my 25 stitches between the markers. Once that was done, I dropped those 25 stitches and let them unravel all the way down, leaving a long section of loose yarns. Then I snipped the loose yarns in the center. The yarn from the drop stitches became the fringe on my scarf, and my knit-in-the-round loop became a rectangle. Voila! A scarf. Lots of stockinette knitting here, but it was easy and a good way to use a variegated lace weight yarn. I have also been working on the pattern Frostlight, and this pattern was designed by Robin Ulrich. It's a rectangular-shaped scarf, normally knit out of worsted weight yarn. It is columns of stockinette stitch and columns of a simple lace pattern. When I saw the photos, I thought it was an absolutely stunning scarf, and I was excited to make it. The pattern calls for Malabrigo worsted in the colorway Polar Morn, which is a silver gray. I loved the pattern in that particular color. It reminded me of winter. I realized I had quite a collection of Malabrigo Silky Merino in the same colorway. Other than needing to adjust the number of cast-on stitches and the needle size, since Silky Merino is a DK weight yarn, I was able to knit this scarf in the color I wanted. Fantastic! What's even better is this colorway has even more of a shiny silver look when it's in the silky yarn base because of the shine of the silk content. While I'm maybe only a quarter finished, I'm loving the way my scarf looks, and I know I'm going to be happy with the result. Another one of the knit-alongs that I did was for Donnie's Hat. This is patterned by Tracy Rogorski. I'm really sorry if I pronounced that incorrectly. I knit this out of Malabrigo worsted in Deja Vu, which is a soft, gentle, and really subtle variegated colorway with a variety of pinks, purples, and greens. This is one of the only instances of a variegated colorway that I have ever seen where I actually like the colors better once they are knitted versus the way they look in the skein. For me, frankly, it's usually the opposite. I love variegated colorways when I see them in a skein. I buy them and I treasure them, but they kind of disappoint me when I knit them up. Not that way with Deja Vu. The Donnie's Hat pattern is knit in a toque or beanie style, from the bottom to the crown. After you do a section of ribbing, the hat is knit in stockinette stitch. There are columns of slipped stitches that give the hat a bit of a more interesting look. It's simple and attractive, and once I knit it, I realized that I looked terrible in it. See, I'm just not a beanie-style girl, and it was too small for my giant head. Have I mentioned yet that I have a giant head? Yeah, I do. So I blocked the heck out of the hat. I stretched it over a bowl and a plate, both balanced on a cup. It was a strange combination of dishes, really, one stacked on top of the other, to try to get the right curve and shape to the hat. It worked relatively well. When I was finished, my beanie had taken the shape of a beret, and it actually fit over my huge noggin. Then I made my first ever pom-pom. I don't know why, but this hat needed a pom-pom. I even actually got it right on my second try, after I looked up instructions online rather than just figuring it out myself. It worked! I attached my pom-pom to the top of my hat, and I was done. I'm happy with my end result, and I might be including pom-poms in more of my knitting in the future. The third knit-along that I did as part of Malabrigo March was for the pattern Rainbow Twist by Thao Nguyen. This is a simple cowl knit out of the super bulky yarn Malabrigo Rasta. The cowl uses a provisional cast-on. It's knit flat and includes a few large-scale cables to give it a bit of a braided look. Once the yarn is almost used up, you simply graft the beginning stitches with the live stitches on your needle, and then you're done. A simple, pretty cowl in only a few hours. I knit this pattern using the suggested yarn, Malabrigo Rasta. Rasta is a single-ply, super bulky yarn made with 100% merino wool. It has this really soft, smooth finish to it, and it takes the yarn dye in a subtle, more gentle way. I chose the colorway Azulis. It's a variegated yarn that is composed of a variety of different shades of blue. You know, I've had Rasta in my stash for a few years, but I hadn't found a pattern that I liked for it. I find super bulky yarn, well, bulky, and I have trouble finding patterns that I find more subtle and tasteful. But this cowl did it for me. It's narrow enough so it doesn't overpower the person wearing it, and it makes good use of the smooth look of the Rasta yarn. Instead of doing my regular crochet provisional cast-on, I decided this time to use Judy's Magic Cast-On, which is a technique normally used for toe-up socks. Essentially, you cast on using two needles held parallel to one another, and then you end up with live stitches on each needle. I left one set of the circular needles hanging through the live cast-on stitches, and then I knit the cowl using another set of circular needles. When it came time to graft, I didn't have to unravel a crocheted edge. Instead, I just picked up the needle that was already in the cast-on stitches, and then I grafted the beginning and the end together. It was easy and tidy, and I'm happy with my rainbow twist. Relative high levels of stress in my life right now. I have been avoiding complicated knitting patterns. It's been going on for a while, and I fear it might be a bit of a curse. But I've been sticking to garter stitch and stockinette stitch, simple lace, accessories, that kind of thing. But lately, the pressures have been really high. And so I turned to my spinning to help give me some relaxation. And frankly, it has been going very well. I had sort of stalled on spinning in July last year when I moved to New York. I had been working on a Crea fleece from the animal Irene Cheyenne from Alberta Rose Alpacas. If you don't know, a Crea is an alpaca in its first year. The fleece from an alpaca's first shearing is extremely fluffy, downy, delicate, and frankly very, very difficult to prepare and spin without creating a ton of neps, tangles, and inconsistencies. I was spinning this fleece dirty. It was skirted when I got it, and it was only the blanket portion of the fleece, which is the best part of the fleece. If you don't know what the blanket is, imagine throwing a saddle blanket over the back of an alpaca. The area that the blanket would cover, so the back and sides of the animal, that's the blanket. But the alpaca fleece was dirty. Alpacas, and especially young alpacas, like to roll in dirt, sleep in hay, and have an all-round good time in the outdoors. Thankfully, they don't produce any grease or lanolin, so while the fleece is muddy and dusty, and sometimes filled with vegetable matter, it is neither greasy nor sticky. I felt that this fiber was too fine to wash before it was spun, so I carded it on my drum carder to get as much vegetable matter and dust out, and to prepare the fiber for spinning. Carding helped with the dirt and grass, but it also caused some tangles to appear in the fiber. Frankly, I think it was inevitable. I carded it twice, and then I started spinning and spinning and spinning. I was aiming for a 2-ply fingering weight, and that's basically what I got. At first, I tried to get my yarn to be very consistent. But with all the little tangles and the odd bit of vegetable matter, it was impossible. So eventually, I just relaxed and spun it as best as I could. I applied the yarn and then gave it a bath, and holy moly, there was a lot of dirt in there. After the bath, my plies loosened a bit. And now I think I would like to run the yarn through my wheel one last time to get a bit of a tighter ply. Otherwise, I'm finished, and I'm relieved to be there. Just before I finished working with Irina Cheyenne, my many fleeces that I had sent to be processed by Still River Mill arrived in the mail. If you remember when I went to Rhinebeck this past year, I brought 3 different Romney fleeces from the fleece sale. I sent those to be processed at the Still River Mill, and in that package, I also tossed in 2 additional alpaca fleeces. These were purchases I made some time ago and hadn't yet worked with them. The Romney fleeces from Rhinebeck were the best in show, a first prize, and a second prize. They were all Romney, one was black, one was gray, and one is white. I plan to spin these up pronto, but before going from one natural colored alpaca fleece to a natural colored Romney fleece, I wanted to spin something with color. A couple weeks ago, I tossed my fiber stash around and found some roving that I really wanted to work with. During my last visit to the Malabrigo factory, just before I moved from Argentina to Colombia in 2010, I found an area in the factory with dyed roving. It seems that Malabrigo was experimenting with roving, and I convinced them to let me buy some. These are among the precious items in my stash. I picked a 4-ounce orange and white roving from the Malabrigo roving collection and spun it into a bouncy 2-ply DK weight yarn. I made sure that the ply was pretty tight, which gave the yarn bounce and energy. I loved it. It was orange and white, so spun up it looked like a creamsicle, and I wanted to keep it for myself. But then I went to visit my friend Dominique in LA, and I really needed to bring her something that would be special for her to work with. So I gave this to her. Dominique loved my creamsicle handspun, and seeing how excited she was, I don't regret giving it to her one iota. After the creamsicle yarn, I decided I needed to spin one more colorful project before I moved on to my Romney fleeces. So I pulled out an approximately 8-ounce bump of mystery fiber from my stash. I bought this fiber at A Touch of Twist at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival in, I think, 2009. It's purple and black with little streaks of pink. I've spun it woolen style, so it's more open and fluffy rather than smooth and dense. And I made it halfway through the plying before I left for this trip to Edmonton. I'm excited when I go back to New York that I can finish plying up this yarn and see how it turns out. A trip home, or frankly any kind of trip, wouldn't be complete without vacation yarn or vacation purchases. And while my vacation isn't over, I have already done a little bit of shopping. I went online. Remember how I told you I was into spinning lately? So I went online and I was thinking I would really like to find some pretty roving to buy. And I went online and I found a Canadian shop called Flannelberry Creek. This yarn store stocks all sorts of wool roving grown and produced in Canada. After going online and playing around a little while, I placed a relatively large order that had a very reasonable price tag, and I'm desperately hoping it arrives before I have to return to the US. Some of the things I bought included roving from the following sheep: Black Welsh Mountain, Cotswold, Rambouillet, Tunis, and Shetland. And then I also placed orders for a variety of colors of a silk and merino blend, some Angelina fiber, and some wool mohair bamboo top. They have all sorts of Canadian yarns as well, which I managed not to buy. It's neat because this company will also blend fibers for you for a relatively low cost. So if you place an order for two different fibers and then write a note asking for the two to be mixed together, they'll do it for you. And another neat thing they have on this website is what they call the Yarn Whisperer Surprise Package and the Fiber Whisperer Surprise Package. So basically, you tell them how much you want to spend and you give them any guidelines you would like to give, and then they pick yarn or fiber for you from their inventory. It's like getting a club package. It's a surprise, but without the commitment of a sign-up or the sometimes inflated costs normally associated with clubs. So far, I'm super happy, and I'm hoping I get my package in time. It's been a while, but I think it's time to bring back a word. So today I am bringing back the word druthers. The meaning of druthers is a preference or a choice. The word druthers, it's an American phrase that was actually never widely used elsewhere. Druthers is a shortening of the words would rathers, as in a preference. The phrase originated in the late 19th century. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of druthers used in relation to knitting. If I had my druthers, I would spend more time knitting and less time cleaning. Or, Given my druthers, it's unlikely that I'll abstain from buying yarn at Stitches South. So there you go. It would be my druthers if the word druthers were used more often. When I arrived home a week and a half ago, Savvy Mum gave each of Melanie and I a gift. I'm not exactly sure what Melanie thought about it, since it's a knitting-related present, but I am in love. Savvy Mum bought these items from the Etsy store Danware. That's Danware. These are handmade yarn tops, a knitting tool that consists of two pieces. The base, that is a circle, a flat circle with a spike, and the top, which also is a circle with a spike sticking out of it. The top of the yarn top has a hole going up the center of the spike. The bottom spike and the top spike nestle one inside the other. The idea is that you place a ball of yarn made on a nostipin or a ball winder, so that there's a hole in the middle, on the top of your top, with the spike through the middle of the ball. And then you put the top of the top on the base of the top, and it spins. So you can knit with the end of yarn beginning from the outside, and your yarn is kept in place and tidy and clean while you knit. Perhaps I'm not describing this well, but I encourage you to go and check these out. They're really neat. Mine is made from the wood Purple Heart, and Melanie's is made from Badawak. I really love well-made, especially wooden tools, and this one is made by hand, and it's made from beautiful wood, and I love it. Thank you so much, Savvy Mom. I'm so happy to be sitting here with Savvy Mom, and today we are talking about the book Knit Red, Stitching for Women's Heart Health. It is by Laura Zander, with a foreword by Deborah Norville. For full disclosure, this book was sent to us free of charge for review by the publisher. But we always give honest reviews, and we're not influenced by whether we paid for or whether something was given to us for free. So I've had a chance to flip through this book and to enjoy the beautiful patterns in it, but I haven't knit anything. However, Savvy Mum has. She knit a pattern from the book, and so we're recording together because she has the practical experience of having worked with a pattern in this book. Hi, Savvy Mum.
Hi. Behind this book is the idea that heart disease is the number one killer of women.
So everything in this book is knit using red-colored yarns.
It's beautiful. And I guess that's one of the things I wanted to mention. All of the patterns are designed by different designers. Each one chooses different knitting techniques, different yarn, different textures. On top of that, it's hard-covered. And one thing you don't see a lot anymore is dust jackets.
Oh, you're right.
And the dust jacket is as beautiful as the jacket of the book itself. It really is a beautiful, beautiful piece of work. Laura Zander is the co-founder and co-owner of Jimmy Bean's Wool. So that might put her in some context for people who are looking at this book. At the beginning, we've got photos of all the different projects that are in the book, so you can quickly glance and see, oh yeah, I want to look at hats. So then you'd look at the slip stitch beret, which I think is
by Isal de Teague.
Yeah, which has beautiful texture. And then you would go and, oh, I want a snowboarder hat that'll cover my ears. And then you flip the page.
And that one's by Lindsay Jacobellis.
So you can look in here and see, oh, I'm interested in making a sweater. Quickly see where all the sweaters are. You want a shawl, you can quickly see where the shawls are. So I think this is a really nice feature of the book.
There are a lot of beautiful patterns in here, a lot of sweater patterns that are very wearable. So I think it's versatile, and there are lots of very wearable, very timeless pieces in here as well.
Beautiful. Each pattern gives you a photo and a profile of the designer, as well as a heart healthy tip from each designer.
Can we pick an example here?
Sure. We can go to the first one. projects and profiles. So here we have a beautiful ruffled pullover. It's simple, it has a nice shape, and it just has a little bit of ruffle around the V-neck and around the bottom of the sleeve. It's stockinette stitch, and its suggested material is Rowan Kid Classic, which is a lambswool kid mohair nylon in cherry red. But after the suggested yarn, they tell you the weight. So this is done in a number 4 weight, which is a worsted weight yarn.
This is a pattern by Kim Hargraves.
Right. So there's a little bit of a bio about Kim, and then Kim's tip. Everything in moderation. Kim loves food, perhaps a little too much, she admits, but tries to fill up on fresh foods like fruits and veggies to keep her passion for homemade cakes in check. So each designer, there's a picture of the designer, which is nice.
Of course.
A little bit about the person's story, a tip from the person, beautiful pictures, more than one picture. So you're not just getting a single picture of the item. You're getting a close-up. You're getting, what does the bottom look? What does the neckline look like up close?
And it's great because I see they have schematics as well.
They do. I have so many nice things to say about this book because it is really beautiful. So I've made lots of notes, but I think I've covered little bits and pieces from each note. Deborah Norville has written the foreword. She says, not only will you find inspiring projects you want to make, in turn, knitting will keep your most important engine, your heart, working well. Research has shown the repetitive motion of activities like knitting actually has a beneficial cardiac effect, reducing stress, hormones, and lowering blood pressure and heart rate. It's just as effective as yoga, and if you ask me, a lot easier. I found that very interesting because we can all personally attest to how calm we feel when we sit there and we're crocheting something or knitting something, and we get into a groove, we get into a motion, and we just find, oh, the world just melts away, the tension just melts away. But here somebody has looked it up, and there has been research done on this, which is kind of exciting. So if anybody says, why are you spending so much time knitting? You'll say, this is my yoga.
I like that. I'm doing it for my heart.
I'm doing it for my heart.
So you knit something from this book.
I did knit something from this book. So it's more of the craft things that I'm interested in doing. So when I went to this book, I started looking at what crafts were in here that I could attack, because I wanted to make something from the book.
Crafts and accessories, right?
Crafts and accessories.
Okay.
And I've never knit lace. There is a green market tote here by Kristen Ashbaugh Helmrich. It is knit in the round. There are hearts throughout the body. It's garter stitch on the bottom, garter stitch on a top border and handle, and the center has a heart pattern. Well,
made from lace.
Made from lace. It's knit worsted weight cotton, and I happen to have cotton in the house. It was I believe, Bernat Handicraft cotton, and it wasn't red, but I thought, I'm using it anyway.
You still get the heart benefits from knitting?
I get the heart benefits.
And you still get the
bag
benefit.
It's my yoga.
It's your yoga. And you don't have to wear tight pants.
I don't. No, and I don't have to leave my house to do it.
That's true.
Just sit there in my
meditative
zone.
State.
Exactly. And I've been curious about what it would be like to knit lace, and this was simple. I put stitch markers before and after each pattern repeats. If I forgot to count, I would get to the end of the round and there would be an error. So for me, I had to count each pattern repeat. And I really had to concentrate on it.
Quality control.
Thank you.
There we go.
Quality control. It turned out beautiful.
It's really pretty.
It's really nice.
What do you have to say about the instructions? Do you like the layout? You said you were having trouble with the layout a little bit.
Well, I understand why the layout here, why it just goes one round into the next round without changing rows. For me, I'm a little more visual. I found I needed to write it out so that it would be more comfortable for me visually, where I'd say, okay, I'm at round three, and my eye doesn't have to find round three in between round two and round five.
See, it's interesting here, and I think that this is for space reasons.
I'm sure it is,
and you get this
product
in,
design.
You get this in magazines and in books generally, but not so much for patterns purchased online through PDF, and I think that's just because you have unlimited space when
exactly.
you're doing a PDF. But here, they've put the round number in bold, and it just runs as one long sentence, and they don't visually divide up. So it'll be, I see round one and three in bold, and then it says pearl, and then it says rounds two and four, knit. And all of that appears basically on the same line. And then round five, it's in the middle of a line. And so there isn't that visual step-by-step where your eyes can automatically go to it. So that's a frustration that I have with knitting from most physical publications.
But I can't say that it was terrible for me to write it out. It was fine. I would write out the lines. I photocopied it, so I wouldn't be working and putting a lot of stress on the book itself. It's too beautiful to ruin. I think rather than spending the space on that aspect, I think they've spent the space on pictures, on photographs. So you'll get a close-up of what the next page is, a one-shouldered tunic. And so you've got a close-up of what the
stitch pattern
looks like.
And then I think they also have the little blurbs.
And then the blurbs on the side.
You know, those sort of value-added info it's really pretty.
Yeah. And so I think that that's okay that they took the space for the photographs. Now, I took this book to an Edmonton knitting group that meets at the Holes Greenhouse. There's a beautiful place called the Enjoy Center, and once a month, on the first Saturday of the month, people get together and knit and have something at the cafe and spend a little time together. So I took the book there and had people look at it, and there were some of the patterns that people went crazy about. Well, they loved the look of the book, and they flipped through it. Somebody said there was a cowl neck vest.
I call it a vest, but it's sort of a short sleeve cardigan. Buttons down the front to, what do you call these pockets?
Like patch
pockets.
Patch pockets,
the bottom front. And then there's this large cowl neck that just drapes beautifully. I love this pattern.
Yeah.
I would knit this in a
People
heartbeat.
People loved this pattern. There's shaping.
Oh, yeah.
There's shaping to it. And it looks to me as if the cowl is knit in one piece.
This vest is worked from the top down in one piece. So you work
the cowl. So you're starting
neck,
with the cowl.
You start with the cowl. You work the cowl down.
You change to smaller needles for the yoke.
It's raglan style. So basically you just start at the top and you knit all the way down to the bottom, which is great because it means you can try it on as you go. And continue the raglan increases until you get to your right size.
Here's a lace infinity scarf. It's so pretty.
It is pretty. And I see that they have a lacy heart pattern here too.
Yeah. And I like the comment under the title here. This is by Tanis Gray. And I like the comment underneath, which says, "Wrap yourself in never-ending luxury with this luscious long cowl knit in lipstick red." It makes a stunning statement. I think it actually does.
And who doesn't love alliteration?
Exactly. Here's a cabled cardigan that people really enjoyed. They were very excited about when I took it to the knitting group.
It's almost an old-fashioned shape to it, almost pin-up girl kind of shape.
It's true.
Sort of one-third length sleeves.
Just above the elbows.
Just above the elbows. And then I love the button closure here. The front panel is heavily cabled. There appears to be a 2x2 ribbing around the hips or at the bottom. And then the best part of this, I find, is that the button band only extends for three buttons, so it kind of sticks out and it closes right over the bust for just the equivalent of three buttons worth, and then the rest of it sits open. But it's just such a sweet, charming little closure. Just imagine a regular button band, but cut short so that it only covers the sort of from the top to the bottom of the bust. It's very, very pretty.
It's very pretty. The interesting thing here is the use of the cables. They don't look like cables. They look like little donuts or little bubbles all the way up. So the way the cables have been designed give a completely different effect. Did we say who? No, this is by
Noragon.
Noragon?
Yeah.
Noragon. I don't know her. This A-line hoodie was another one that people in the group really liked. It's by Diane Soucy.
This is stunning. It's a raglan style, stockinette stitch, buttons. Only, again, buttons at the top. So buttons from your clavicle down to just near the bottom of the bust. Basically, there are increases directly below the bust, and it opens off almost what you would think is would be like a baby doll dress style. And it comes down to the hips, and so it's kind of open at the front. The most charming part is this adorable hood on it. It's very, very sweet.
It's really sweet. And the shaping, again, with the different designers, we've got different shapes to each project, and this A-line shape is just beautiful. Two other things I want to mention before we end, and that's at the back of the book. First of all, there's a small section called Heart Healthy Living, which has information, tips, resources, and
recipes.
So I love recipes.
Why not combine knitting and food? Really?
Right. So you've got Get the Facts, a couple of pages about heart healthy living, common signs of heart attacks, and some less common signs of a heart attack that are often found in women. And then exercise ideas, and then some Cook Red, it's called. So we've got corn chowder, gazpacho,
crispy oven fried chicken, turkey meatloaf, fresh salsa. This is lovely.
Italian vegetable bake.
Oven French fries.
And I think I'm going to try their method because I'm not always happy with how it turns out when I just cut up some
potatoes and throw them
in the oven. And sometimes they turn out wonderful and sometimes they don't. And so I'm going to try this method that they have here. Dinner tonight.
Maybe not the only item we'll have for dinner, but it can be
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Banana mousse.
And rice pudding.
Rice pudding.
I do love me some rice pudding.
And its skim milk gives a whole lot of flavor without whole milk's fat and calories. And so I love rice pudding. So I will try that as well. The last section is knitting know-how. It's quite a substantial section. It has abbreviations.
Interesting here, Mom. Did you notice that the pattern you did was actually rated as the highest skill level?
No, it was rated as an experienced
pattern. The skill levels, they rate how hard each pattern is, and it starts with beginner, easy, intermediate, and experienced, and yours was actually experienced, which I found a little unusual because one of the fully cabled sweaters was intermediate, and your bag was experienced, but that's okay.
Apparently,
your bag was very, very hard.
There you go.
So no wonder you kept having trouble with it. It was very, very difficult.
Anyways, it's a lovely book. I would recommend it for anybody who wants to satisfy a yearning for a thing of beauty that you can just have and hold and refer to on many occasions. It's something I will go back to many times.
Knit Red, Stitching for Women's Heart Health by Laura Zander. And inside the dust jacket, it says $19.95 in the U.S. and $23.95 in Canada. There we go. Now time to do something healthy. We should go for a walk. And then knit.
Absolutely.
As in do yoga. As in knit.
I need that. It's neat and it's sweet. It's a ding-dong treat. Knit socks for little feet. Just sitting with your knitting all day long. You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun. Knitting's good for everyone. And that is why we sing this knitting song. Let's get one pearl, two. What's a doozer gonna do with a gall? Darn, ball of yarn. Let's stitch three, drop four. Pitch that mitten out the door right now. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode number 99 of the Savvy Girls podcast. Don't forget that Melanie and I will be at Stitches South in Atlanta. We are going to be there Saturday and Sunday, April 13th and April 14th. We are going to be having a meetup on each of those 2 days at 12:30 p.m. by the entrance to the marketplace. We are also going to be tweeting throughout the day to say where we are, and you can follow us on Twitter at SavvyGirlsPcast. Please also keep an eye on our Ravelry podcast group, our Facebook page, and our Twitter feed for contests and announcements relating to episode 100. We plan to have a lot of fun with this, and we hope to take you with us on this adventure.
If you would like to reach us, you can visit our website at www.savvygirls.ca. That's SAVVYGIRLS.ca. You can visit us at our Ravelry podcast group. We are under the Savvy Girls podcast. We're on Twitter as Savvy Girls PCast. We're on Facebook under the Savvy Girls podcast. And of course, you can email us at podcast@savvygirls.ca. I know this episode was absolutely filled with names of knitting patterns and different types of yarns and different yarn stores and all sorts of different information. If you want to find out what the heck I was talking about or how to find out more information about something I was talking about, do visit our website. Savvy Bro has provided a long list of links so that you can reference what we've been discussing today. And that pretty much covers it. So, thank you all for joining us. We look forward to seeing you at Stitches South if you plan to be there. And we look forward to episode number 100 of the Savvy Girls podcast. And that's coming up in 2 weeks from now. Thank you so much. And tend to your knitting, kitten.
Would look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to, and do you know why?